Hello and welcome to another edition of The Complete Works. I am your host, Doug Hess. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. I'll tell you a little bit about what we do here on The Complete Works. Is we, just as our title says, The Complete Works, we are looking at the complete works of a particular actor, actress, director, composer, and we're looking at their film history one film at a time on this podcast. And we're in the process of going through the film career of Nicolas Cage. And on this edition of The Complete Works, we're going to be looking at the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage, starring Nicolas Cage. And that was released back in 2016. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this edition of The Complete Works. If you'd like to find more about The Complete Works podcast, you can go to film-book.com by using the search term The Complete Works. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. In the subject line, you can put in there The Complete Works. You can put in one of the titles that we are talking about this week is the USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, starring Nicolas Cage. And if you like what you hear, we would strongly encourage you to hit the subscribe button so it can be delivered every week to you and you don't have to go out there and search it. Like I said, this week we're talking about the USS Indianapolis. Now, what's really interesting about this particular film of the USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, is this film is loosely based on a true story. And what I mean by loosely based on a true story, or largely based on a true story, maybe I can say it that way, is the fact that, and really not a bad thing, but as you know, you might be able to taking consideration that a lot of times Hollywood likes to add a twist or a little story. So they're taking a factual event and then kind of adding a little bit to it. And that is what the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage basically does. It's taking a factual situation, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes, and then kind of adding Hollywood's angle to it, adding a love story, etc. to it. In terms of that, but USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, couple things to keep in mind. The release date was on October the 14th, 2016, and like I said, it's starring Nicolas Cage in this film. The other thing is they had a budget of approximately $40 million. Unfortunately, at the box office, it really only did $1.6 million, so it came in as a loss. If you take a quick look at Rotten Tomatoes, it got a 17% based on only 11 reviews. So I really don't want to take a lot of consideration of Rotten Tomatoes. I have great respect for them. It's nothing against Rotten Tomatoes. It's just that since there was only really 11 reviews, the average on out of a 10 was about 3.4, 3.5%. Meaning out of 10 people, three of them actually liked it. The other seven didn't, or six and a half really didn't care for the movie. In terms of that, the reason I believe, and this is just my own personal opinion, why it only had 11 reviews, is that it was a very historical moment talking about the USS Indianapolis. One is, I don't think a lot of people really know the story of the USS Indianapolis. I think there are some historical gurus out there that would understand that. But overall, again, that was 72 years ago during World War II, that some people just kind of have forgotten the story, unfortunately, about the USS Indianapolis, so it probably didn't have the draw that other films would have had. Again, not taking anything away from the story, not taking away anything from Nicolas Cage. It's just that it probably didn't find that niche, per se, if I can use it that way. Now, in my own personal opinion, to me, the USS Indianapolis became famous, obviously, or infamous, in its own right of the terrible situation that happened to those men that was on the USS Indianapolis and basically spent 5 days in shark-infected waters. There was a little over 1,100 men that were on the ship that was torpedoed by the Japanese, and a little over 1,197 men were aboard the ship, and only 317 actually survived that torturous 5 days floating in the Pacific Ocean waiting for help. But we'll get into that in just a few minutes. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole with this, with the plot. As we usually do, I like to tell a couple quick stories prior to jumping into the plot of the movie. In my personal opinion, what made the USS Indianapolis some people take notice was that the scene in Jaws, which was directed by Steven Spielberg, and that was back in the 70s, and there was a scene where the fisherman Quentin, played by Robert Shaw, had an infamous monologue recounting the tragedy that happened with the USS Indianapolis. And in the film Jaws, he tells the story as because he was one of the 317 survivors. In terms of that, what was really interesting is for Jaws 2, if you remember Jaws 2, that Steven Spielberg actually contemplated making Jaws 2 really about the USS Indianapolis. And what was really interesting is Universal Studios came to Spielberg desperately wanting a follow-up to the movie Jaws, which was very successful. And Spielberg said that he would do it as long as it centered around the USS Indianapolis, which, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, was a very focal point of the Wiley fisherman Quentin, played by, again, Robert Shaw, in that infamous monologue, which he describes that terrible event with the USS Indianapolis, and being in the shark-infected waters. What was really interesting is that monologue that was penned by John Millis, I hope I'm saying that right, Millis, when he dictated that particular speech over the phone. Now, he is also the individual, John is also the individual who penned Apocalypse Now, starring Marlon Brando, and Martin Sheen, who was in Apocalypse Now. What's really eerie about this event that was penned by John is that he pretty much told the story in detail. The only one slip-up is when Quentin provides the wrong date. It was actually on July 30th of 1945, and he states it as June 29th of 1945 when everything occurred. But what was really interesting is that that they pretty much got the story right, except for that one detail, and that was with the dates in terms of that. Now, with Steven Spielberg, we know that he has a, I won't say a fascination, but he's not afraid to tackle some of the stories with World War II. If you look back on his career, he had 1941, Emperor of the Sun, Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List, all focused on World War II. So I think it would be easy to understand his fascination. Plus, it was a great story in terms of that. However, for us, Universal didn't want to really sink a ton of money into a guy that really only had Jaws. And who knew Steven Spielberg was going to develop into the individual that he is today, and really a guru when it comes to films in terms of that. Well, what's also really interesting is the film was going to start off showing that it got hit, and then it was going to have the rest of the film would play as basically a survivor horror picture, because you can imagine them floating in the ocean of the Pacific for 5 days and the horrible situation that they were in shark-infected waters. There was injury, so there was blood, and it was just one of those terrible ordeals where men were trying to do anything and everything that they could to stay alive while they were floating both in and out of lifeboats in the ocean, again, trying to keep themselves from being scorched with the sun, but at the same time, trying not to be attacked by sharks in terms of that. So, very kind of interesting that I think we would have, or at least I would have enjoyed seeing that as a Jaws 2, but it wasn't meant to be. And who knows, maybe Steven Spielberg will eventually come back and revisit the U.S. Indianapolis with his own version of that. But today we want to get focused back on the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage that was released in 2016 starring Nicolas Cage. And that is what we're talking about. Some fun little facts or some trivia regarding the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage. I don't think I really told you who was in this. Obviously, Nicolas Cage, and he is portraying Captain Charles B. McVeigh. And Tom Sizemore is also in this. Thomas Jane, Matt Lantern, Brian Presley, and Cody Walker. And we'll get to him in just a minute in terms of who he is, Cody Walker. But what's really interesting is that Matt Lanter's grandfather was a survivor of the U.S. Indianapolis, and in the film, Lanter wears his grandfather's dog tags as a little tribute and memorial to his grandfather. While the film depicts, the description says that 300 men were stranded, again, the actual number was a little over 1,100, almost 1,200 individuals. 879 of those would die in the water from injuries related to the torpedo attack, from the sinking, from sharks, and from just other exposures. In terms of that, again, I mentioned there was 317 actual survivors of the USS Indianapolis. Scenes set on the USS Indianapolis, obviously the ship was destroyed, was filmed aboard the USS Alabama. The USS Alabama was docked in Mobile Bay in Mobile, Alabama. And the same battleship, the USS Alabama, was used to film Under Siege, which was Steven Seagal back in 1992. So a little interesting in terms of that. The wreckage of the USS Indianapolis was found on the 19th of August, 2017, in the Philippines, 3.5 miles below the surface, by Paul Allen and his crew. And you, if you know who Paul Allen was, he has since passed, but he was the co-founder of Microsoft along with Bill Gates. And so he was a big explorer and spent a lot of his money going out finding lost artifacts from history. We talked a little bit about Quentin, and talks about the shipwreck. Jaws was released back in 1975, and he really talks about those 5 days in the water before being rescued. And as I mentioned early on, in my personal opinion, I think that's one of the more famous scenes that really brings the USS Indianapolis to light. And it's back in Jaws in 1975. Now, the film is based on the book In Harm's Way, The Sinking of the USS Indianapolis and the Extraordinary Story of Its Survivors by Doug Stanton. The events depict happened about 3 weeks before the end of World War II, and it should not be confused with the film In Harm's Way, which was released in 1965, which was the setting or the beginning of World War II. So we don't want to make sure, we want to make sure we don't get those confused. We talked about how the USS Indianapolis was discovered in August of 2017, and that was some 72 years after it had sank. And what was interesting, back in August of 2017, we still had 19 of the 317 survivors still living. So 19 crew members from that terrible event were still alive in terms of that. Okay. Captain McVeigh, who was being portrayed by Nicolas Cage, he commanded the Indianapolis for precisely 254 days. He started on November the 18th, 1944, and ran through July 30th, 1945, in terms of that. Again, a little bit of history in terms of that. Now, I told you that Nicolas Cage is in this film, but also Thomas Jane. Both of those actors were actually married to Patricia Arquette. Cage and Arquette were married from 1995 to 2001, and Jane and Arquette were married from 2006 through 2011. This is the second time that the museum battleship USS Alabama stood in for the Indianapolis. The first time was the Mission of the Shark, the saga of the USS Indianapolis, which was released back in 1991. Now, I told you that Cody Walker was in this film. This is his acting debut. He had previously been a body double and a stand-in for his older brother, Paul Walker, in the Fast and the Furious saga. Furious 7, which was released in 2015, and you'll remember that Paul Walker had died before the finishing, the film had been finished being filmed, and he stood in as, Cody stood in for his brother Paul as a body double in that film. This is Nicolas Cage's second movie with Thomas Jane. The first was Face Off back in 1997. This is Thomas Jane's second starring role in a film involving sharks. The first was Deep Blue Sea back in 1999. And Nicolas Cage and Tom Sizemore, this is their second film together. The first was Bringing Out the Dead back in 1999. In terms of that. And Nicolas Cage and James Remare co-starred 32 years earlier in the 1984 The Cotton Club movie. So, again, just some fun little facts, some trivia, before we really dive into the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage. And, again, like I said, I hope everybody has a chance to read a little bit about the history of the USS Indianapolis, and it's really a fascinating story. Like I said, though, this particular movie kind of blurs historical facts with Hollywood and trying to bring the two together. And we'll give Hollywood a little bit of poetic license, if you will, on this film, just because it's really a very kind of a sad, dark movie. Like I said, having sailors literally in the Pacific Ocean being surrounded by sharks, and they spent five terrible days trying to cling on to life after being attacked by the Japanese. And it's really a survival story in terms of that. Okay? So let's just go ahead and jump into the movie. The USS Indianapolis Men of Courage is a 2016 American war disaster film directed by Mario Van Peebles. It was also written by Cam Cannon and Richard Rodeo del Castro. And it's based, like I said, largely on a true story of the loss of the ship of the same name in the closing stages of World War II. Principal photography began on June the 19th of 2015 in Mobile, Alabama, and it used the U.S. Alabama as the USS Indianapolis in terms of that. The film premiered in the Philippines on August the 24th, 2016. It was released as a digital rental on iTunes and on Amazon in the United States on October the 14th, 2016, and in limited theaters during the Veterans Day weekend. And as I mentioned earlier, it cost approximately $40 million to make, but it only made $1.6 million at the box office, which was kind of sad based on a story that needs to be told. So what is the plot? What is the USS Indianapolis Men of Courage all about? I've kind of really hinted around about it, but in 1945, the Portland-class heavy cruiser, the USS Indianapolis, which was commanded by Captain Charles McVeigh, played by Nicolas Cage, they are tasked to deliver parts of the atomic bomb that would later be used to bomb Hiroshima during the ending of World War II. While they're patrolling in the Philippine Sea on July 30th, 1945, the ship is then torpedoed and sunk by the Imperial Japanese Navy submarine I-58, taking 300 crewmen with it to the bottom of the Philippine Sea, while the rest climb out of the ship and were left stranded at sea for 5 days without food and water in a shark-infested environment. Like I said earlier, there was a roughly 1,200 crewmen on there, and only 317 individuals survived. So here we are, we have individuals that are stranded in shark-infested waters without food and without water. And you might say, well, there's a whole ocean there, but you gotta remember that's seawater. It also has damage. What I mean by damage, good, it's also going to have fuel from the battleship. It's also going to have their human waste. I mean, you've got individuals just in this area. There's blood. There's all kinds of different things there. And so, and if you drink salt water, what's that going to do? It's going to dehydrate you. Oh, and we didn't even really talk about the sun. So here they are, clean on, in the middle of July, in the middle of the ocean, with nothing to eat, nothing to drink. They're floating, they have sharks to worry about, and then during the day, they also have the sun beating down on them. So here we are with 5 days with really no hope. Most of the remaining crewmen were eaten by sharks or would die from the salt water poisoning by drinking the seawater, which also caused some of those injuries to die from infectious wounds. So, I mean, these individuals just had a lot of things going against them. And it's amazing that 317 individuals actually were able to survive. Some of the sailors swam off from their groups from hallucinating, thinking that they could see a distant island that didn't exist. Unfortunately, those individuals were never seen again. On the fifth day, the surviving crew were rescued by an airplane pilot who spotted them by chance and called for a rescue. As I mentioned, only 317 survived the disaster, looking for a scapegoat for their own gross negligence. The U.S. Navy court-martials and convicts Captain McVeigh, who's again played by Nicolas Cage, for hazarding his ship by failing to zigzag. And one of the things that during World War II, what they wanted to do was zigzag, and so it was harder for the enemy to have a direct line. So it's like anything else, if you're going from point A to point B, the quickest way to get there is in a straight line. But it also would cause a straight line, you would be easy to be a target. But if you zigzagged back and forth, it made it a little bit harder for somebody to torpedo you. Not saying that it was impossible, not saying that it didn't happen and it couldn't happen, but it just made it a little bit tougher, and that was protocol of the day. Despite the overwhelming evidence supporting McVay, such as even having the former captain of the UN's I-58 submarine to testify for the trial, which proved that McVay was not at fault, it ends not very good for McVay. Even though the evidence was against, or actually supporting him, basically, unfortunately, and a lot of times, they needed a victim. And as the captain, and as the saying goes, captain goes down with the ship, and in a sense, he did. What's really sad is that basically, we find that at the end, Captain McVay, Nicolas Cage's character, finally commits suicide years after the tragedy, after being harassed and tormented with phone calls and from mail from angry and grief-stricken relatives of the deceased crew members, as well as the media, mostly in the form of newspaper, which placed all the blame squarely on him, and because of the ship sinking. In the movie's postscript, though, it shows that President Clinton exonerates Captain McVay for all charges on October the 30th. For all the charges on October the 30th, 2000. So some 60-some years later, 60-some years later, President Clinton exonerates Captain McVay in terms of... And so... Basically, it was that pressure that got to him, and that's how the film really ends. Is that Captain McVay just really couldn't take the torture, if you will. I hope I can say it that way. From the harassment, and it was just a terrible thing. I mean, I can't imagine being in the captain's position, but I cannot also imagine being one of the loved ones that lost a husband or a father or a brother in this event, or a son. And I could see both sides of this. And like I said, Captain McVay just really couldn't take the pressure and unfortunately commits suicide from the harassment, for lack of a better word, in terms of that. Now, what's interesting, there's always a subplot in films like this. I shouldn't say always, but a lot of times. And basically, we have two childhood friends, Indianapolis diver Brian Bam Smithwicks and a crew member, Mike Delanto. Long story short, both of these individuals fall in love with the same woman without the other knowing. So both of them are in love with the same woman. Neither one of them really knows it. DeAnto purchased an engagement ring before the trip, and he is going to propose. Basically, long story short, again, the two of them get into it, a brawl involving two of the crewmen. So the Antio loses the ring, and one of the other crew members, Alvin, steals it after the ship is destroyed. Smithwick and D'Angelo spend the next few days in the sea with the rest of the crew, where D'Angelo succumbs to massive leg injuries received in a shark attack, and Smithwick is given the engagement ring by Alvin. Bam proposals to Antonio's fiance Claire to help raise their child, and she accepts their proposal. While the credit rolls, two Navy sailors re-encounter the sharks in the water, and the real rescue footage is shown along with many still shots of the lost sailors in the Pacific Ocean at that day. A really terrible, terrible situation based on a true story and event. So The question then becomes, Nicolas Cage and his performance in the USS Indianapolis. I thought he was okay. I mean, I would say that, like I've said in so many of these, it wasn't his best, but I wouldn't say it was his worst. I would, on a scale 1 to 10, I'm a little bit more down the middle. I would lean towards a 6, maybe even a 6.5 out of a 10 in terms of that. Just because, well, I'm a history buff, and I really love those types of movies. And so I would give him the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, though, it wasn't one of his worst performances, by no means, but it wasn't one of his best either. So I'm going to go somewhere between a 6, 6.5 in terms of that. Like I said, others with Rotten Tomato only gave it a 17, but again, that was based only on 11 reviews. I stick by my earlier comments regarding the USS Indianapolis, in the sense that the USS Indianapolis is one of those historical events that's out there, but a lot of people just don't know the story. If it wasn't for the movie Jaws in 1975, I think even fewer people would understand or have any historical reference regarding the USS Indianapolis in terms of that. We see that on February the 5th, 2015, Nicolas Cage was set to play the lead role of Captain McVeigh in the film. We see that Matt Lanter was set on April the 1st, 2015 to play U.S. Navy diver Chief Petty Officer Brian Bam Smithwick. Lanter revealed to the producers after his audition that his grandfather, Kinley Lantern, was a signalman on the Indianapolis. Furthermore, Lantern's father, Joel Lantern, is a chairman of the Second Watch, an organization of survivors and their families. Joe Lantern and his co-chair, Mario Bullard, stayed in contact with the producers during pre-production and were welcomed to the set during the photography. Then on May the 13th, 2015, it was revealed that Tom Sizemore, Thomas Jane, and Brian Presley would also join the cast for the film in terms of that. On July the 15th, 2015, Cody Walker was cast in the film to play one of the crewmen aboard the ship. And like I said, that was his acting debut in terms of that. See here, principal photography on the film began on June the 19th, 2015 in Mobile, Alabama, with many of the scenes shot aboard the battleship USS Alabama, which I discussed earlier, that was to take place or be a, to be in place of the Indianapolis. Filming also took place in San Francisco and over in Japan, but the producers later opted to double Mobile for both San Francisco and Japan in terms of that. And then on June the 27th, 2015, filming was underway in Orange Beach in terms of that for the film. After filming on July the 14th in downtown Mobile, Cage, Nicolas Cage met a real Navy veteran named Richard Stevens on a beach at Pinneville Square. Stevens was one of the survivors of the ship USS Indianapolis. So Cage and Stevens had a long talk about the disaster, and I'm sure got a much deeper appreciation for the story and the events that those brave individuals went through. Again, what a terrible tragedy in history. And I just can't imagine what it would have been like floating in the ocean for 5 days with no food, with no water, no protection from the sun. Oh, and by the way, I'm surrounded by sharks that want to eat me because of everybody's injuries and the blood, et cetera, in terms of that. So... Overall, like I said, personally, I'm going to give this film a 6 out of a 10. One, just because I'm a little partial to history. But at the same time, I think it's a great story to tell. One thing I'm not too keen on is, but I understand why people do it. I understand why Hollywood does it, is to kind of bring the love story in the mix. I get it. It sells tickets. It's something that they want, they need. I get that. It is what it is in terms of that. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this episode of The Complete Works. We were discussing the film The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, starring Nicolas Cage. That was released in 2016. You can find out more of my work on film-book.com. You can search my name, Doug Hess, or you can search The Complete Works. You can find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you, if you like what you've heard, to subscribe so we can have the podcast sent to you directly. And again, if you have any comments, you feel free to email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. In the subject line, you can put in The Complete Works, you can put in The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, or any of the other films that we're talking about. Again, we strongly encourage you to hit the subscription button. And until next week on The Complete Works, have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. That the audience was more willing to give the praise to the actor or actresses in the movie, but was a little standoffish when it came to the actual film in terms of that. The audience polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A, on an A+ to an F. However, Stone works best when it's just Edward and the three journalists in the hotel room sweating it out, because they were deciding what they were going to release, when they were going to release it, etc., in terms of that. But for the actual material of the film, I think a lot of people, like I said, were just a little standoffish or a little squeamish. Now, let's fast forward to 2019, and with the current political climate that is out there, I'm not so sure that this film wouldn't get a much stronger praise from some of the critics when you're looking at the actual material, not the acting, but the message that's there. I think you'd probably have things a little bit different today in 2019 versus 2016, but I could be wrong on that. And again, like I said, I don't want to make this about politics. This is not the podcast for that. And if you're looking for that, there's other podcasts for you to join. I just want to stay with the entertainment value when it comes to with movies and Nicolas Cage or the complete works in general of whoever that we're talking about, an actor, actress, director, composer, etc. And let you, the audience, come up with your own thoughts and take on that. Okay? Well, that wraps up another edition of The Complete Works. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please, we encourage you to rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like us, our video, and subscribe to our channel. Leave us a comment in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you. And we just ask that you tune in next time when we review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. We want to thank you for listening. And again, if you like what you hear, please hit subscribe so we can have future editions of the podcast, The Complete Works, sent directly to you. Love to hear from you as well. Send us an email if you have any thoughts, comments, or concerns. And you can do that at podcast@film-book.com. And in the subject line, put in the complete works, Snowden, or any of the other movie, or other movies that we have been reviewing. And we hope to see you next time. So again, thanks for listening to the Complete Works. This has been an episode on Nicolas Cage. And the movie that we reviewed for Nicolas Cage was Snowden. So until next time, take care.